In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Well, welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. Always a joy to be with you and just kind of spend these moments together as we begin our day. We're looking at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 this morning. We're talking about suffering and how it's a part of our Christian fellowship. It's a part of our Christian development. The Bible says in Philippians 3:10 that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now, this sounds like a fantastic life purpose verse, doesn't it? That I may know Him, not know about Him, but know Him, and that I may experience the power of His resurrection. But then it says, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. The fellowship of His sufferings. Now, that's not normally a part of our morning prayer. Lord, help me to experience some suffering today so that I can understand the fellowship that we can have because of that. But you know, it's an integral part of the entire Christian life. It's a very important part of God's plan for effective service. In fact, this verse seems to be the apostle's life verse, because it kind of wraps up his entire philosophy and his mindset. But it's very clear. Suffering was an expected part of the plan. And so you and I need to make it a part of our life's plan as well. So I guess the question is, did you look for God's new directions as a result of the coronavirus stay-at-home directives? Remember when those came out back in March? The stay-at-home directives. At that point, you probably said, what in the world? How is that going to happen? But you know, if that was a part of God's plan, then it's a package deal. I say that because for many, many years, I've spoken at a camp out in Wyoming in the mountains, and they've got fantastic food. I'll never forget the first time I came to breakfast and I started walking through the line. I got up to the window and they said they were having oatmeal. Now, when I was a kid, my mother either made scrambled eggs or oatmeal for breakfast every other morning. And I got so sick of oatmeal that I just made a vow. That's it. I'm done. When I'm away from home, when I've graduated from high school and I'm gone to college, no more oatmeal for me. And so here I am at this camp, and it's oatmeal for breakfast. And I said, no, ma'am, thank you. But then I saw that the person right in front of me just got their oatmeal. They went to the next person, and they put this huge scoop of vanilla ice cream on top of their oatmeal. I said, oh, well, now we're talking. So I handed her my bowl, my empty bowl, and she said, what? I said, I'll take a scoop of ice cream. She said, no oatmeal, no ice cream. And I said, now, you don't understand. I'm the speaker here this week. And she looked at me with no smile on her face. She said, you don't understand. I've been told it's a package deal. You eat oatmeal, you get ice cream. You don't eat oatmeal, you get no ice cream, period, for everybody. And I said, they certainly didn't say that about the speaker. And she smiled at that point, and she said, no, but I just made up the rule. Ha! Nice lady. And she kept to it. She gave me no ice cream. I said, all right, fine, give me some oatmeal. Then I got my big scoop of ice cream, and of course I ate the ice cream as fast as I could before it melted on top of the hot oatmeal, and then I threw the oatmeal away. But I learned very quickly that she wasn't going to back down. It was a package deal. You either got oatmeal with ice cream or you got nothing. You know, that's the way it is in the Christian life. Suffering is a part of the package deal. It's a part of what God says is important for us to be learning how to serve him effectively. And so, over the last 13 to 14 years, God has taught me some things about suffering. One of the things that God is constantly teaching me is there are three basic questions that I need to ask when I'm going through a very difficult time. Number one, what am I learning about God during this time? What am I learning about God? Now, the only way that I can learn anything about God is from His Word. And so, of course, as I'm going through a time of suffering, God wants me to just hunker down with His Word, spend my time meditating, saturating myself in His Word, because He wants to teach me some new things about Himself. And secondly, second question, what do I need to learn about others? Others. Because there's some things that until I learn them about others, that I'm going to have the wrong perspective, the wrong viewpoint of other people. God has brought other people into my life, either for me to impact them or for them to impact me. And sometimes it's people that don't like me, people that don't like what I'm doing or saying, but God will allow them to play a part in the future development of my Christian character. So what am I learning about others? Third question, what am I learning about myself? What is it that is a soft spot, shall we say, that's a weak area or a blind spot, it's often been called? What is it about my life that God is putting His finger on and He's saying, we need to work right here? You ever have a doctor just kind of probe and you know, push and touch? And I had an appendicitis situation one time. My appendix was about to burst, but they hadn't done any x-rays or anything. I'm in the emergency room, and the doctor walked in, and he pushed with three fingers right in the area where my appendix was, just pushed out, and then it just let up real fast, and I thought I was going to go through the roof. And he said, yep, that's what it is. Just probing. And so many times, that's what God is doing during our hard times. He is trying to teach us something about ourselves that needs to be strengthened because it's weak. Now, what is it that God is trying to teach us as Christians during a pandemic, during shutdowns, during stay-at-home directives, during things that are closed and all of the ramifications of everything that we're going through with this pandemic situation? What is it that God's trying to teach us? One of our church members shared with me that the churches in Belize were not able to communicate with their people during their church shutdown, and so they all listened to our services online every week. I thought, wow, they don't have any streaming service in Belize, in their church. And so God is using our ministry to impact all of those folks. It's just one example of how God was at work during those first days of the stay-at-home directive times. One of our men was able to lead his very ill father to Christ. And just a few weeks later, he died. Went to be with the Lord. Another one was able to do the same with a very ill brother who since that time has died. See, the reality of eternity is becoming more daunting during these days of fear and uncertainty. That's exactly what our world is going through. Days of fear and uncertainty. In fact, our eyes have been further opened as a church as far as opportunities that we had during that time to just meet some basic food needs. We would have a food pantry once a week before everything started, and then we started having a food pantry every week during the worst of the pandemic, basically helping us to understand the specific needs that have grown and developed during those first weeks and months. We also had daily devotions that were offered online by our pastoral staff, and many people were saying what a tremendous blessing those devotions were. See, all of these things are things that God enabled us to become involved in as a result of the hard times. See, you always want to look for the hand of the Lord when suffering comes. I want to call your attention to a passage of scripture way back in the book of Genesis. It's the story of Joseph. And you remember how he had dreamed some dreams about future leadership that God was going to give him. But it sure didn't turn out to be something that was in the immediate future. Genesis chapter 37 tells us that Joseph was sent out by his father to check on his half-brothers and see what they were doing and where the sheep were and all this type of thing. And we begin reading with verse 18, Genesis 37, 18. And it says, "And when they saw him," speaking of his half-brothers, "afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They said one to another, 'Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say," they're planning their lie, "some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what shall become of his dreams." And Reuben said, "Let me deliver him out of your hands." And so he said, "Well, don't let us kill him." And so Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that's in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father." In other words, his plan was, when they're not looking, or maybe at night, he will pull him out of the pit and get him back safe and sound to his father. Verse 23, "Came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, and going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto the brethren, 'What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh.'" Wow, what a tender thought. "And so his brethren were content." Verse 28, "And then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew up and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned to his brethren, and he said, 'The child is not, and I, whither shall I go?' And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors and brought it to their father and said, 'We found this. We don't know if it's your son's or not.' And he knew it and said, 'It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him, and Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces.' And Jacob rent his clothes," that's the father, "put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days." So there's the story of Joseph. Now, let's look for the hand of the Lord in times of suffering. Have I whetted your appetite? There are four things that I want to show you that are specifically designed to see the hand of God during Joseph's suffering. But you'll have to join me next time we're together as we get into that story and see the sovereign hand of God that is also working in your life during your sufferings. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.